For years, I worked as a TV reporter and journalist, covering the stories assigned to me. Today, I'm on a different assignment, and I'm taking orders from a different boss. I've combined my reporting skills with my spiritual ability to come up with a new assignment, the Eden Assignment.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Eden Assignment Warfare Series. I am Karen Eden, going to do case two this week. First, though, I do want to recap from last week when we were talking about how it's very important that you know who you believe, who you choose to serve when you're on a spiritual journey. You really do have to pick a God, guys. You have to decide what it is that you're going to believe in. For me, that is Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, the life, the only way to get to Father God in heaven through Jesus Christ. I know whom I have believed, and I don't stray from that. I don't mix gods. I don't mix other religions. I don't believe that we're all one religion and one God. I think that is a trick straight from the other side, because we are not all one God. We are not all one religion. You know, they get this bumper sticker out here. I mean, you see it everywhere. Of course, I'm out in liberal land. But it says coexist, and it has all the symbolism of all the religions. And I do believe that we need to get along, as far as I am not in any way saying that, you should resort to any kind of violence or violent tendencies. However, to coexist with other people doesn't mean that I have to endorse what they believe. So that's what I'm trying to say when I say that you need to pick a God. This week I want to move on. I want to move on to case two, where we're talking about those of you who say you believe in Jesus Christ, your power source. I like to kind of pride myself on the fact that I don't really talk a lot like they do in church. I'm not real churchy about the way I, you know, minister. So I don't know if that's good or bad, honestly, but it is what it is. I will do my best to dispense to you truth, and I base it on my book, my magical book, my good book, and that is the Bible, to the best of my ability. I'm fully and totally responsible for my actions as someone who takes a leadership role in this. And I know I got to be careful. I know I do. I know that people listen and people believe and people base their lives and the way they're going to conduct themselves off of things that the leaders say. So I do take responsibility for that, which is why I'm telling you, you know, there are things, isms, I call it, that are in the Bible, isms, spiritual isms. And then there are other things that are just my opinion, and I'll let you know that too. But, you know, when it comes to what is in the Bible, I'm not going to in any way compromise you on that. I may do my best to interpret what I believe it means, but again, that is sincerity coming from my heart. Sometimes people, you know, they wear crosses as a necklace, or maybe they hang them on their wall. Most people, I believe, who display the religious symbol of a cross are kind of displaying in their own way that they have Christian beliefs. I do believe that. Most people do feel that way, and that's why they wear the cross. It means something to them. It means they're of the Christian faith. There's so much more behind that meaning, historically, spiritually, than people realize. And I want to try to go over a lot of that with you, because your power source is the cross if you say that you believe in Christ, the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I want to go over why it outweighs and why it's different from any other religions and the gods of other religions, and let you have a thorough understanding of what it means when you say you're wearing a cross, or maybe you have a tattooed cross, or like I said, maybe you just, yeah, it's just wall decoration. But everything is something in the spirit realm. And when you display spiritual things and spiritual items in your household or upon yourself, you are taking a stand in the spirit realm. Can I say that again? If you are displaying any type of religious icon, I don't care what that religion is, you're taking a stand on that. You're exclaiming something. In the physical realm, maybe it just looks good in your house. Maybe it was a gift. Maybe you just like the way the jewelry looks. I don't know. But I'm telling you, in the spirit realm, it's different. Shots are being called differently in the spirit realm. And when you display any type of religious artifact, icon, or symbolism, you are taking a stance and letting it be known in the spirit realm, even if it's out of ignorance. That's what you're doing. Okay. Okay, so let's just get into a little bit of the history of the cross. Crosses predate the time of Christ. Back in the time of Christ, crosses were the capital punishment, the corporal punishment for doing something wrong, the death penalty, pain and suffering. That predates the time of Christ. It was very much a pagan rule of thumb before it was Christian. And, you know, that was part of the corporal punishment that they instilled, and they knew it was pain and suffering. And they would wear crosses often, whether for religious reasons or just as a statement, display crosses to let you know that they believe in that type of dark capital punishment. The crosses go back into Gaelic times and the Viking times. Those people were not Christian people, okay? A lot of the Gaelic crosses, Irish crosses, whatever you want to call it, they're ancient. Again, they predate the time of Christ. And so when you wear a crucifix, which is Jesus on the cross, you are actually signifying something totally different than if you were to wear a cross. What am I saying? If you don't wear a crucifix, you're wrong. No, that's not what I'm saying. Your intent is everything. What you intend and the authority and the power you place on any symbol, that comes from your heart, and that's what outweighs anything. But I do want to let you know there's a difference. Today in modern Christianity, the cross represents the risen Christ, because they don't like to see their God, I guess, in a position of suffering and dying on the cross. That's the Protestant religion. The Catholic religion is opposite. They use crucifixes. They display crucifixes. They wear crucifixes because they have the belief that, you know, that is the ultimate sacrifice that paid the price to battle evil. So there are two differences in those two crosses. They both can be of the Christian faith, but not necessarily. I recently saw a pagan, which is a witch. Witchcraft would be the modern-day pagans, and she had a home, and she had crosses all over her home. And my friend was confused and said, well, she's a witch. What is she, Christian witch? Why does she have crosses? No, because the crosses are a pagan symbol, once again, that predates the time of Christ. So you got to be very, very careful when you see things like that. Don't automatically assume. And then you can get into people who are into dark arts, who actually like inverted crosses and that kind of thing. So, I mean, everything, again, is symbolic and displays what your belief is and where your heart is. So these aren't just, you know, little things to decorate your house with, okay? So anyway, when you're talking about Jesus dying on the cross, ladies and gentlemen, when you display it, when you wear it, as the Catholic Church does, you are saying that I understand that this act is going to combat any evil that may come my way. That's what you're saying. Do I believe that? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, I believe that. I tell you what, man, Catholic Church has been around a lot longer than a Protestant church, but there's some things that they're very good at. One of those things I feel is battling evil. They're like the only Christian church I know of that actually has a rule of thumb on exorcisms and that kind of thing, an exorcism, which would be to exorcise out demonic or evil entities. The Protestant churches can do that too, but a lot of them don't even want to talk about it. A lot of them just run. You say, devil, run! And, you know, what do I mean by Protestant? Protestant is any Christian faith that's not Catholic. That's Protestant, okay? So I don't feel the Protestant church does a very good job on being on top of that. But anyway, if you understand how this works, and you believe in Jesus Christ and confess him as the Son of God, you can do this yourself because you have full dominion, power, and authority because of the cross, because of the sacrifice of Christ. But just, A1, be aware that whenever you're wearing a cross or a crucifix, you are displaying not only in the physical realm, but in the spirit realm, that you do believe in the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ as your power and authority. So if you don't believe that, then don't wear it. I mean, I just, you know, I don't know. I would say don't wear it unless you just are wearing it for empty reasons, which is fine. But it is a very powerful religious icon. And it's nice to know that we do have icons that are reserved for people who really believe in them for a change. Okay. So anyway, that's a little bit of the history of what the cross is, the difference between a crucifix and a risen cross, and why these things are so powerful. They've been around for thousands and thousands of years. And 3,000 years ago, with the time of Christ, The cross took on a whole new deity, a whole new entity from a deity who gave an ultimate sacrifice. Okay, so of all the faiths and religions in the world, there's only one religion where a deity actually gave his life, so that other people can have a good life, and that would be Christ, Jesus Christ. And so you have to understand that there's a spirit realm and there's a physical realm, and the spirit realm is very vast, and it operates on a different set of rules. The spirit realm, blood, is a very powerful thing. In the physical realm, blood is something most people don't want to have to see or be around. But in the spirit realm, blood is a very powerful thing. It's life force. I mean, even in the physical realm, it's very difficult to get rid of blood. You may think you've washed it up or whatever, but the particles are still there. I mean, law enforcement can flash a certain type of light and reveal where blood has been wiped up because it stains and it's hard to get rid of. There are more than one example in the Bible that talks about blood, and one is that blood cried out from the ground when Cain killed Abel. Blood is very difficult to get rid of. You can break it down into particles and particles, but it's still very, very present, and that's how a lot of people who commit crimes get caught. With this day and age, especially with today's technology, blood is life. It's the life force. It's a tape recorder. They know that blood is more than just a fluid. It has a DNA tape recorder in it that has recorded the last 15 generations of what's gone on in your family tree. Why do you think if your parent was an alcoholic, you have a greater chance of being an alcoholic? Why do you think if your mother had breast cancer, you have a greater chance of getting breast cancer, or so forth? Because there's a recording in your DNA that will duplicate and will replicate, good or bad. This is something that has been known since the time of Abraham. They talked about it in the Bible. It's called generational curses or generational blessings, whereas you carry in your bloodline these things. And when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he's basically saying, I'm replacing the blood in you. Your physical bloodline is being replaced. Therefore, I'm wiping out any generational curse, and you actually have divine blood in your blood when you believe in Jesus Christ. You have the same dominion, power, and authority as Christ did. So please understand that this is something that's in the Bible, that he said when he left, I give you full dominion, power, and authority to combat evil, cast out demons, or whatever. It's all in there. But that shedding blood, the shedding of a God, Jesus Christ being the Son of God, the shedding of his blood becomes so powerful in the spirit realm that the dark arts and the evil forces, they can't stand up against it, and they don't like it. I mean, you take, let's take the Church of Satan, and boy, I tell you what, they're making an impact today, or trying to. I mean, they have one here in Colorado, not far from where I live, and they're trying to put their Baphomet statues up, which is a statue of, you know, Satan with the horns or whatever, you know, and it's like, oh, no, we don't believe in Satan. We believe in love thyself or whatever, to thyself be true, whatever they're saying is, you know, I got a little problem with that. I don't believe in the Easter Bunny. Therefore, I don't have a 12-foot statue of the Easter Bunny in my front yard. So if you don't believe in it, why are you putting these, demanding that these statues be at every city hall is beyond me. I get baffled at that. I get baffled with atheism for the same thing. You know, you don't believe in it. Why do you pick on it all the time, every day of your life? Pick at Christians. I don't pick at the Easter Bunny. You see my point? So anyway, getting back to my point, even at the Church of Satan or in Satanism, call it whatever you want, they actually have a lot of symbolism that makes a mockery of Christ. It makes a mockery of Jesus Christ dying on the cross. The inverted cross, the inverted star, there's all kinds of symbols. I mean, their symbol alone has so many mockeries against Christ in that one upside-down circled star. So don't tell me you don't believe it, or why do you go out of your way to make a point of disproving it or making a mockery of it if you don't believe it? These are decisions, if you say you're going to have a journey in the spirit realm, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to have to make. You know, I'm not here to try to scare you. I know that everybody would rather hear about angels and fairies, and I apologize for that. But in the spirit realm, there is good and evil. And it's nice to know about the good, but it's even more important to know about evil. Hey, remember in the movie The Godfather, keep your friends close, but keep your enemies closer? It's kind of like that. I mean, you need to know what's going on if you're on a journey. It's easy to get taken out of your journey, get taken off of your journey, and you won't even know what hit you. So I want to explain in the battle of good and evil what's going on with a lot of these symbolisms. When I wear a crucifix, ladies and gentlemen, I know that I'm making a stand that what I believe in is my power and authority through that sacrifice of Jesus Christ dying on the cross. So when you try to understand why it's such a big deal to Christians to display that cross, you need to understand that it is a statement that I believe in the shed blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Because in the spirit realm, it's the most powerful, the most victorious act that has ever taken place in all of time. In the beginning, through the Old Testament, the devil was always trying to trip up God, always a battle of good and evil, from the fall, from Satan's fall, from Lucifer's fall of grace on. Everything is a trip up, because we don't want to get Christ to this world. And this was always planned to have Jesus Christ come to the world in a physical form to shed his blood to give everybody who believes in him a power source to combat evil. And so the devil's always trying to trip up. That's what the flood of Noah is about. Everything you can think of. I mean, there's so many stories in the Old Testament that basically lead to trying to trip up Christ getting to earth. The Old Testament is about how God won and beat out evil to get Christ to earth. Kind of in a nutshell. So now you've got the New Testament where you've got the teachings of Christ and the talk of Christ, and you can see that Christ's language is a lot different from the angry, mean God, as people say, that's in the Old Testament. Why is that? It had to be that way because Jesus Christ had not yet come and paid the price for the redemption of sins. So you can remember in the Old Testament that he sacrificed animals. Why? The shedding of blood. There's redemption in the shedding of a life force. You don't have to do that anymore because Jesus Christ died on the cross. He already shed his blood. But because there was no redemption of sin at that time, God had to get very firm and stern with the Israelites. He had to get very firm with that journey because Jesus Christ was going to come out of the Israelites. He had to say, I told you to stop worshiping sex idols. I told you to stop worshiping pagan gods. He took people out for it. He took out King Solomon, the wisest man on the earth. He took him out because he was being destroyed by his own greatness. Solomon had intermarried with pagan women and women who practiced dark arts and magic. And Solomon started to practice that. This isn't only history in it's history in a lot of faiths. It's even history in the Wiccan religion and witchcraft, that they understand Solomon. They wear something called Solomon's ring, and they understand that he used witchcraft to build the Temple of Solomon. Boy, I hope I'm not going over your head. But I'm having fun. I could talk this stuff all day, man. Okay. So anyway, let me just again iterate to you how it is important that you decide what it is you're going to demonstrate symbolically, what it is you're going to say and what you're going to stand for. The blood of Jesus Christ, if you say you're a Christian, is your number one tool and weapon and power source. He says, Jesus Christ said, I came to give you life more abundantly. What is an abundant life? That's good relationships, good money, and good health. What more is there? What do you get attacked on? You get attacked on relationships, money, and health. Sometimes you get attacked on all of them. Sometimes at the same time. I deal with people who are going through that right now as I speak. But if you plead the blood of Jesus and you say in the name of Jesus, you're pleading a power source. You're calling upon a power source to help those things turn around in your life, which is why it's important. And I tell people who are battling some major, major evil things in their life, whether it be, you know, those kind of attacks I just told you about, or they've opened up a portal and there's something in their home, there is nothing, no devil, no demon from hell that can overcome the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. So you need to say that. I tell children, I told my own son, when you feel evil, when you're afraid, when you're scared, plead the blood of Jesus, blood of Jesus, blood of Jesus. You have to teach your children how to protect themselves, guys. You have to teach them. You have to show them these things because in this world there is real evil. God doesn't cause bad things to happen to children. The devil causes bad things to happen to the children. There is free will for you. Choose whom this day will you serve. If you're in your house is going to serve the Lord, you've got to cover your children with the blood of Christ so they're protected from evil. bad things happen to kids. Bad things happen because they're not protected often. Oftentimes, I'm telling you, I don't want any way to make light of the situation. But these are questions I get all the time. You have to protect your children, guys. You have to pray over them. You have to plead the blood of Jesus and pray over them in Jesus' name. That, again, that's your power source. You have to teach your children about good and evil. You have to teach them that they have to choose good and they have to combat evil and how they can overcome evil. And one of those weapons, again, is the blood of Christ. Are you wearing a cross? Are you going through something? Are you being attacked in relationships, health, or in money issues? Are you telling me you believe in Jesus Christ? Have you confessed it? I do believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I have asked to be forgiven of all my sins. Therefore, his blood sacrifice covers me. Don't have to sacrifice animals. That blood force covers me, runs through my veins. If you say that, then you're my brother or my sister, and that's where that comes from. There's where sister in the Catholic Church comes from. Father. We're all related through the blood of Christ, and we use those little family names, brother, sister, father, whatever, if you believe in Jesus Christ. That's what that means. So if you are going through something, I want to encourage you, if you believe in Jesus Christ, to go get a cross or a crucifix and wear it. Wear it every day. Take a stand. I want to encourage you to put crosses and crucifix up in your home, on your mirror, in your car, in your office, whatever you need to do. I'm covered. Listen, if you don't see me wearing some kind of cross, don't worry about me. I've got it tatted on my back. Nobody knows that. I'm not a big tattoo person. Yeah, it's rarely displayed. But it's there, and I don't do it for looks. I do it because I want to have a symbolism of protection 24/7. That's why it's there, the blood of Jesus Christ. I even have that written on there, blood of Christ. Is this stuff real? Oh, you better believe it. How do you know? Well, I may know a little more than you about it because I have documented cases of going into homes and dealing with people who had obsession and possession, and I want to actually share some of that with you in some other cases. I just need to get this basic stuff situated, and I need to understand, you know, that you know before I get into any documented cases of what's going on and how you combat these things. In this world, there is real evil. Evil is very, very real. But you know what Jesus Christ said about that? He said, I want you to be happy. I want you to be happy because I've already overcome the evil in the world. He said that. I paid the price for you. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So there's really no reason for you to ever feel bad. If you're going through something, you need to pray in Jesus' name, okay? Say your prayers in Jesus' name, the blood of Jesus. Saying your prayer in Jesus' name is more important than saying amen. Well, that's another subject that I'll get into maybe sometime. But you need to understand that your power source is through the name of Jesus Christ and his blood sacrifice. So pray in the name of Jesus Christ, in Jesus' name. I do it a lot of times, you know. Sometimes I just do it because I can sense things or feel things. I'll say something in Jesus' name, or I plead the blood of Jesus. If you ever hear me do that, you know, because I travel a lot, I do a lot of shows, that's probably what I'm doing, probably sensing something, feeling something. So, you know, I guess if you're still listening, you're not scared. You don't have to say she's weird, ladies and gentlemen. I already know I am. It's okay. I've had to deal with that a long time ago, being weird, being different. I'm cool. I'm happy with the way I am. I've accepted it a long time ago. And the people who love me and really know me, they've accepted it too. Sometimes they kind of stare at me, don't say anything, but they have accepted it. It's all good. Well, listen, I just want to take little baby steps with some of this stuff because it's heavy. You need to think about it. You need to sit in it, soak in it, resonate in it. I want to encourage you to find your Bible and pick it up and read it. Oh, let's see. You can start with the book of James, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. You know, Romans is a Romans and go into James. And if you want to go in the Gospels, which is the things that Jesus said, Mark is a really good one. Luke's a good one. It's all good. Just start reading, dude. Just read it. Just read it. I want to encourage you to read the New Testament. He talks a lot about how you treat each other and how you're supposed to deal with other people. And you need to go back to that, you know, reference book, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels. if you need to have those understandings. And you get into some of the other books, let's see, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, you know, getting into the teachings of Paul and some of the things he said when he was setting up the churches. And that's a lot of good stuff to know, especially if you're someone who is in some kind of ministry or leadership role. But I tell you what, the teachings of Christ, to me, that supersedes everything because it's straight from the mouth of Christ himself. So you need to start reading something. And you know, if you don't like the way your Bible reads, if it's too old-fashioned, there's a million different versions. Go get, maybe not a million, but there's a lot. Go get another version. You know, it doesn't matter if it's paraphrased or what. I don't have a problem with it. Just read it. Start reading. Can you pray? Pray. People say, I pray to God, I don't feel like he even hears me. It's like it bounces off the ceiling and comes back and hits me. You know, that's not, I just want to encourage you that that's not true. That's not true at all. Your prayers are being heard. Ask God to show you a sign or give you an answer if you need to. It's better to walk by faith, but he said, man, if you have to have a generation, has to have a sign, so take a sign. It's the lesser of two evils. I mean, if you need a sign, ask for one. You know, I mean, it is a generation without faith. But that's okay. If you're believing in your heart, it's better just to go ahead and ask for a sign. God, do you hear me? You'd be surprised what will happen. This stuff is real. Guys, witchcraft is real. Voodoo is real. I want to let you know it's real. There's power. There's power sources. The devil has power. The church of Satan has power. Don't have my power, though, because I operate through the blood of Christ, and I have full dominion, power, and authority over any evil power. Full on. So don't be afraid. You can't be afraid of this stuff because fear will actually give the gas for the evil. Does that make sense? Fear is not of God. So fear is of the devil, and he loves that. He eats that stuff up. That gives him fuel to do more things. You can't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Shut that stuff down. What time is it? All right, listen, I got to go here. I hope you liked case two. I hope you got something out of it. I want to get into some actual cases, but like I said, I got to start up with this stuff and make sure that, you know, we're coping on understanding of where I'm coming from, because I don't want to be taken out of context, and I don't want people just to think, you know, I'm doing some kind of Hollywood stuff here. It's absolutely not. There's some real stuff going on, and in a spiritual journey, you need to be aware of that it's not all good. There is very much evil. I have the Eden Assignment Inspirational Series. You can check that out on my group page and Facebook, and that's some good basic stuff there. It's very encouraging and comforting, but I always say the Warfare Series is when you're ready to jack it up and get serious and realize why you're here and what you're supposed to be doing and why you are on a spiritual journey. That's what that's all about, guys. All right. Well, listen, I've already blown through my time allotment here. You keep me in your prayers, and if you need prayer, hit me up. I'll pray for you. No problem. If you have questions, hit me up. I'm all over the place. Just Google me, Karen Eden Herdman, social media, whatever. You'll find me. I mean, man, this day and age with the stuff they have, it's like you've everything, Social Security, phone number. I mean, everything but my measurements are out there. That might even be out there. I hope not. All right, God bless you. See you next time in the Eden Assignment Warfare Series. Bye-bye.